KODY listeners, we are here on Mugs in the Morning. It is match day. Nebraska plays Penn State, an all Big Ten semifinal in Louisville, Kentucky. We are blessed to be joined with the radio voice of the Nebraska volleyball team, John Baylor. And good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. How are the vibes in Louisville? We see some Husker fans traveling around so far.
Yeah, it's a doggone mixer. If you're a Husker fan and you show up here single, probably not for long. I mean, they are wandering the streets, having a good time, very optimistic, but this is a really tough matchup. Round number two against Penn State, round one didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's kind of lily pad back to Sunday's match. What an unbelievable match to watch. Nebraska, three really tight sets with Wisconsin, beating them three times in a row this season. Just a thrilling match to watch on Sunday. And Nebraska, they were able to pull all three sets out.
Remarkable defense, Jack. I've never seen more suffocating defensive effort by Nebraska, I think ever, but certainly this year. And I think that was their best match of the year thus far. And that's just an incredible accomplishment to defeat Wisconsin in three sets, to do so three times. And here's just an indicator. Wisconsin, for the year, hit about 300. I mean, why not? They got a 6'7 middle Carter Booth. They got 6'2 middle CC Crawford. They got a 6'9 right side Anna Schreck. And they got the National Player of the Year, two-time Conference Player of the Year, 6'4 Sarah Franklin. In three matches against Nebraska, nine full sets, Wisconsin hit 130. They hit below the average for all Husker opponents. Remember, the Huskers play Maryland, Rutgers, Montana State. Wisconsin, the Badgers, hit below what the rest of Nebraska's opponents have hit against the Huskers all year. That's how suffocating Nebraska's defense was against Wisconsin three times this year.
I know we talked earlier in the season, and we kind of mentioned there's a group that separates from the rest, and you kind of see that with all one seeds in Louisville this week.
Yeah, and it's a bit ironic because this year everyone's been saying there's more parity, more upsets. I mean, my goodness, a number two seed, SMU, gets beaten in the second round. A number four seed, BYU, gets beaten in the first round by Loyola in Illinois. And so it's just, but at the end, you know, the cream rises to the crop. Hold everything. The cream rises to the top. And it's the teams that were apparently properly seeded, and all the number one seeds got here, but with a lot of drama. I mean, Creighton was that close to being the only non-number one seed, the only two seed that made it here.
Yeah, and talk about the Jays almost beating Penn State. We were watching that match after Nebraska on Sunday, and I think the whole state of Nebraska would have just migrated into Kentucky if the Blue Jays would have won on Sunday.
Yeah, they're just such a special program. The chemistry every year, the love for their head coach, Kirsten Bernthal Booth, former Lincoln East Spartan, former tennis, state tennis champion, another lifetime ago. Her father was a professor at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and she's a special coach. They always have a special team, a special culture, and they've been to the Elite Eight twice, and they are no longer a sleeping giant. They are an awakened giant, and I see them as a team that won't lose much in the portal and will be a magnet for more and more players as they see what's available there. So kudos to them, and kudos to the state of Nebraska, because the Creighton team has so many in-state kids. Nebraska's got four in-state kids. Wayne State's a power in Division II. UNK had a heck of a year this year, and they're full of Nebraska kids. You got the NAIA program out at Scotts Bluff, and you know, Wesleyan and Doan have great programs, Midland. So it's just, I guess we shouldn't be surprised anymore, but I think nationally, to have more than one top 10 team in a state with 2 million people has got to be impressive for people who care about the sport.
And on Thursday, I think it's pretty intriguing. You get two conference matches, the ACC versus ACC, then Big Ten versus Big Ten. That should be some fantastic volleyball, and maybe even put a little more spice into it.
Well, ACC is a conference that historically has not necessarily been a powerhouse. I mean, it's been the Pac-12, which dissolved into, to some degree, the ACC. So they gained Stanford and Berkeley. But the ACC has leapfrogged the SEC and has really caught up gotten close, at least, to the Big Ten in the number of top programs. Not quite, but when you see Pittsburgh, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, SMU, I mean, that's a good start for the ACC. And Pittsburgh, I think, is the favorite. They've got the recipe for great success in the postseason. Two fabulous outside hitters who can terminate. Torrey Stafford is one of them. And then on the right side, you got Olivia Babcock, who's probably going to win National Player of the Year, although Nebraskans hope it'll be the defensive stalwart, Lexi Rodriguez. Well, if you've got great pin hitters, you're going to succeed late season because you're out of system more often because the competition is tougher, the serving is tougher, your passing is worse. And so you need great pin hitters, and they've certainly got them. They have really nice middles as well. They've got a senior setter in Rachel Fairbanks. They're just explosive. So Pittsburgh is the team to beat, I think. And Louisville has not beaten them this year. They're 0-2. They went 5-1, so went 4-1. But Louisville's red hot, and they're trying to do something that hasn't been done for 20 years, and that is win the national championship with a two-setter offense. And they've got one of the great coaches in the game with Danny Busbaum Kelly, who grew up in Firth, Nebraska, went to Adams Central, played for the Huskers, a 2006 national champion, has done at Louisville is just remarkable. And I think it's going to be tougher and tougher to do because of NIL and transfer portal. But I mean, she came to a program that occasionally flirted with the top 25 and has made them a perennial top 10 program, which is an understatement. They're now pretty much a perennial top 6 program. And she's made that job at Louisville, I think, better than the Stanford job because Stanford's got some academic standards that make it tough for them to participate and all this movement within the sport. And so, I thought it was fitting and illustrative that Louisville was able to win that amazing match because it seemed like a bit of a changing of the guard that somehow Louisville in volleyball in the last decade has become a bit more of a destination and maybe even a better coaching job than Stanford, the program that's won 9 national championships. So don't bet against Louisville, against Pitt. And then, Penn State, Nebraska just seems like a toss-up.
And that first matchup at Pitt-Louisville, Pitt's basically going into a road game, obviously, with the tournament being in Louisville.
That's one reason why I think Louisville has more than a puncher's chance. In a town where Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, grew up in the museum down the street, is fabulous, that Louisville's got the home crowd. They're red hot. They have two great outside hitters. We just walked through how important that is. You got Charity Looper and then Anna DeVries, who's a fabulous outside fifth-year senior local. They've got a great libero in Elena Stout. So they have and two solid right sides. And they have Jason Glock's daughter, Ellie Glock from Wahoo, Nebraska, who's one of their two setters. So they've got a lot of the ingredients that can spell success in December. But Pittsburgh's a unique team, and when you watch them, you're like, okay, that's what a national champion looks like. And they've only lost one match. They're red hot right now. It's going to take a lot to win, but the crowd's going to help.
What does that say for the state of Nebraska as a of a whole? You got at least one player on all four rosters from the Cornhusker State.
And not just the Cornhusker State. Jordan Hopp may start for Penn State. She's the pride of Alliance.
I know, yeah.
She's an Alliance Bulldog. She basically went from Carhenge to Iowa State to Penn State to Louisville to play in the Final Four. So kudos to Jordan Hopp, who's only played in 15 sets the entire year out of 126 for Penn State. But three of those 15 sets were sets, four of them were sets 2, 3, 4, and 5 for Penn State the other night. So she might get the start over Maggie Mendelsohn, a former Husker. Anyway, kudos to Jordan Hopp. I mean, the city of Alliance, Nebraska's got to have some torn feelings when it comes to Thursday's match. But yeah, you've got a in-state Nebraska kid on all four rosters, and there are two, not just Ellie Glock, but they got a Millard West graduate who's playing for Louisville.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. And focusing on Thursday's match with Penn State, obviously we didn't see Lindsey Krause fighting an illness for the Dayton and the Wisconsin match. Do we expect to see her back against Penn State?
She's healthy, but she's had a tough time breaking into the lineup of late, and it's a sad story amidst all of this joy and success. Lindsey, the number two recruit in the country 4 years ago, one of the great high school players in the history of the state of Nebraska, out of Omaha, Scott, four state championships in high school, had two fine years in her first two seasons at Nebraska with a critical role, but out of position. She played right side, and then she moves to left side. She's hitting 366 in the Big Ten's conference schedule, and is basically on trajectory to be a second-team All-American, and suffers a very serious ankle sprain in practice, just doing a drill that she does many times every practice. And it's she never got back last year. I think it really limited the Huskers and probably affected the ultimate outcome that the Huskers faced last year. And then this year you think she's going to get her chance, and she's been at best able to split playing time with Taylor Lanfair. And she had her chance, Lindsay did, in set four at Penn State, had 17 swings and hit negative. And it's tough for her because she hadn't played that night already, and she hadn't played a whole lot prior to that, and she was put in a big spot. That was kind of her latest chance. But you never know. You just, as Nebraskans, you just have to root for this in-state young woman who's sacrificed so much, given so much, been so selfless and just picking her spots to help the team. And she led them to a national championship match in her freshman year and to a Final Four last year, although she was on crutches. And she's got one more chance at glory, and I really hope she gets that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of rare in today's world to see in these major sports a player that sticks out at a single program for 4 years.
Exactly. I mean, look what's happening right now. I mean, Purdue is losing two elite outside hitters. Ohio State is losing two elite outside hitters. These are pillars of the programs, underclassmen, who have time left. I mean, Eva Hudson's going to be a senior, but at Purdue, so she's got 1 year left, and she's in the portal. But Chloe Chacoin and the two outside is going to be a junior next year, and then the two outside hitters for Ohio State are going to be sophomores next year, and they're just out there on the open market. I mean, this is just the Wild West, and you know, it's noteworthy now when an elite player is not in the portal. That's where we are at this point already, how things have changed so quickly. So players are adapting and happily so, because they're reaping financial benefits from all this, but the coaches have to adapt and the fans have to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked in the preseason interview we had with you, and you said this team could be special, you know, compared to, you know, all the years in the past. And how has that lived up to the truth? And what does make this team a special, special group that can, like you said, achieve glory potentially this week?
Well, Jack, the first thing that jumps to mind is chemistry. They really love each other. They spend so much time together. They seem to get along great. They all live very close to each other for the most part in the same building in Lincoln. And that's really unusual to spend that much time with 13 other people. And you choose, when you do have free time, to continue spending more time with them. The bus rides are full of laughter and talking. And it's a beauty. It's beautiful to see in a sport where the players are so interconnected. They're so interdependent that chemistry is more important perhaps than any other sport. Nebraska's got it and has had that secret sauce for a lot of years now. Number two is just their talent. I mean, I was talking to Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald. He's going to write an article on top greatest Husker volleyball teams of all time. And I think this one has a chance to finish in the top three. Of course, you don't ultimately judge until the journey's over, the final chapter is written. But I think I had a chance to finish in the top three. And my thinking is there might be some people that argue this is the greatest of all time, if they can get to the mountaintop. With Pittsburgh standing in the way, that's going to be tough. When you think about it, Wisconsin, Penn State, Pittsburgh, probably, to get to a national championship, they're probably deserving for one or two all-time in the history of the program, because they're blessed with great talent. They have so much talent that Merritt Beeson hits zero against Wisconsin on Sunday, and the Huskers still sweep the Badgers. That's how much talent they have. And those great Nebraska teams, like 2000, they went undefeated, won the national championship without Nancy Maindring that year. They were so talented that you were able to rest her and redshirt her that year. Future Olympian, now Nancy Metcalf, and they still won the national championship. In 2006, I would argue Nebraska's greatest team of all time. They win that title without the reigning national player of the year, Christina Hotelling from Cambridge, Nebraska, redshirted that year because of an injury, and the Huskers still win the national championship. Anyway, this team, even without one of their critical players playing particularly well offensively, is able to sweep one of the great teams on paper you'll ever see, the 2024 Badgers. So this team right now is playing for legacy, but more important, they're playing for the joy of it. They're just so happy. You see it all the time when they're out there playing together, and they're blessed with a lot of talent and fabulous chemistry.
All right, talking here with John Baylor, radio voice of the Nebraska volleyball team. He's in Louisville getting ready for the semifinal match with the Penn State Nittany Lions. And John, what are some of the keys to the game and to, in order to advance to Sunday's championship game?
Well, it always starts with serve and pass. If the Huskers serving continues to take opponents out of their offense, which was the case for much of the match, certainly second and most of the third set against Wisconsin, that's going to neutralize Penn State. And you just cannot have Caroline Jervis just get 18 kills again. You've got to make Penn State unidimensional, which they usually are, but even more so. So they just have to set outside and set outside. And Cameron Hanna and Jess Merzlik are terrific out there. And they put up big numbers, not just number of kills, but huge hit percentages. So they're not just effective, they're efficient. They don't have a lot of out-of-bounds swings, a lot of attack errors. Well, we can pile up those attack errors in their name if they're out of system and predictable, because Nebraska's got a unique block. Merritt Beeson's a fabulous blocker, and both middles are terrific blockers. Rebecca Alec, I'd argue, is the best in the business right now. So make them predictable. Make an adjustment on Caroline Jurevich, the former Husker, so she can't have a career night like she had on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. And just be more balanced offensively. I mean, Harper Murray can wear the cape. She was Wonder Woman and won, for the most part, the match largely for the Huskers when they were playing pretty poorly against Dayton in the regional semi. But you don't want to have to rely on one player. You want to make sure that the middles are involved, that Merritt's hitting. If Merritt can hit above 200, if Taylor Lanfair again can hit above 200, all right, you know, just have it. If those two can be within 200, ideally above 200, Nebraska is a really tough team to stop. So watch the attack percentage for Nebraska's second outside and Nebraska's right side, Taylor Lanfair and Merritt Beeson. They'll be indicators of how the Huskers are doing. Got to get them near 200 or ideally above 200.
All right. Well, Coach John Baylor, we appreciate the time here with speaking here from Louisville. I know how busy you are getting ready for Thursday's match. And is today kind of a practice, kind of walkthrough day for the team?
Absolutely. They're practicing. Today's Wednesday, and they are practicing in the middle of the day, and it's open to the media, open to other coaches. It's a big coaches convention for all the volleyball coaches in the country, and so a lot of them will watch the match, and a lot of media here doing stories. It's just amazing how things have changed, that there's just media swarming everywhere. Last night, on Tuesday night when we landed at the airport, there's a police escort and big buses, and that's kind of new. I mean, the last year was it was there in Tampa, and now here we are again, and that's just sort of de rigueur now when it comes to a Final Four. I think things were a lot less splashy in the old days, and now my understanding, especially with Louisville playing, the tickets are impossible to come by. Just all great signs for the sports. The television broadcast numbers were terrific for the regionals, all setting records, and I know it's on ESPN, but they can always listen to it on the radio and turn down the TV. That's what I suggest to all your listeners.
All right. Well, John, we appreciate the time as always. We'd like to thank you for coming on and talking with us about Husker volleyball and their journey to a potential national championship this week. John, thank you for the time, and go Big Red.
Anytime, Jack. Let's go get number 6.
That's right. That was John Baylor with the Husker volleyball. He's the radio voice. They play Penn State Thursday, December 19th, and you can always listen here on 98.5 The Hawk. And with that being said, go Big Red. We'll talk to you more here on Mugs in the Morning.